I'd like to welcome all of you to our Sunday worship service. And you may or may not know, the Africa Missions team came back safely yesterday. And thank you for your prayer. And nobody really got sick this time, which was really, really a blessing. Last year, half of us got sick and ended up going to the clinic or hospital even. But just praise the Lord. And thank you for your prayer. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord? I'm going to take this off. we're finishing up Romans Gospel. Could you just lower this a little bit for the howling? Yeah. If you could just, if I could ask you this question. What is your conviction as we finish 1 year of Romans? Do you have it? You know, actually, let me share this. This is exactly 8 days ago, only 8 days ago. It feels like a dream. Light of Love Africa number 18 was done, and this picture was taken with literally 100 pastors, okay? And they look kind of like similar, but they're all over from East Africa, from Congo, Sudan, Rwanda, Burundi, Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda, and then there is us. And the title and the theme was Love God and Preach Christ. Okay, and there is myself standing in the middle, and a short lady left of me is Pastor Ruth. She was sent from this church as a missionary 9 years ago. Okay, when she was 65 years old, and now she's 74, and she's still going strong only by grace. A lot of people in there in her age cannot handle herself, but she's handling whatever she's handling because of God's grace. And one on my right is missionary Paul Kim, who's been in Africa for about 24 years. And after spending 20 years in Uganda, he felt Lord calls to another mission, feeling Uganda is kind of like too laxed. So he went to more difficult region of Sudan and with the refugees. And what an amazing, amazing thing to have friends like that. Okay, and that was Sunday worship service right after Lola. And that's the second church Pastor Ruth planted in Africa. Not Pastor Ruth, but, you know, God planted through Pastor Ruth. And you saw that building. Some of you saw that building without the roof. And Ruth was placed. In fact, you know, that church building is not bad at all. I mean, it's similar to this. I mean, you know, it's nice. It's really nice. And facing toward me, it's a Lake Victoria Ocean View church. It's unbelievable. But this is located in Fishing Village, the poorest of the poorest of Uganda. And literally on Sunday, from our compound to that church took us about almost an hour, okay? And one of the things that I noticed when I come to the United States and I drove for the first time in 2 weeks, and the roads are amazing. It's like butter. You're driving on a butter, right? It's really that good. But to get to that church with Pastor Ruth's car, oh my goodness. It's just horrendous. It cannot be described. Just going to church and coming back, you get exhausted. And she planted this church at her age. And we worship in a poorest of the poorest of the region. And it was just amazing. And then the week after, Monday through Wednesday, we spent 3 days with the graduates of a New Heart Global Mission Center. And there are about 35 people graduated in last five years. Can you imagine? 35 disciples through the ministry of New Heart Global Mission Center. And Pastor Ruth labored for 5 years. And we gather all the graduates from all different countries. Now, there is a lady who came from Congo, working with pygmies and then people from Rwanda. They all gather and we spend 3 days going through chapter 1 through 8 of Romans. We had 9 lectures, 1 hour lecture, I mean, a little longer than 1 hour most of the time, 1 hour lecture, and then followed by 1 hour Bible study. So we spend 17 hours of Romans in 48 hours. So you do the math, okay? And then I'll tell you what happened, and amazing thing happened, and this is the picture. Okay. I want to ask you, at this closure of Romans study, after spending July 1st, we started on July 2nd, 2018, and today is June 30th. I didn't plan it this way, but exactly 1 year. And I want us to have a closure. Our missions team spent 8 days doing ministry, and I preached 19 times in 8 days. And my team had to suffer 19 times, hearing again and again and again. And then instead of we take a couple days off to go to safari or something, we decided to stay. And we wanted to have a closure. I think some of them are bitter toward me, but it's okay. But we had a wonderful time. And basically, this is what we did. After spending this 8 days in Africa, what is the gospel? And what is the gospel to you? Okay, we took our time and spent. And you will listen to them like later on today. And next Sunday, we will have a presentation, the missions presentation. So you will hear them from them. But let me just tell you something. What I heard from each and every one of them was amazing. Was amazing. And I want to give you my conviction. That's exactly what I prepared today. Because after spending a year of my life really devoting on this magnificent book of Romans, what is your conclusion? What is your, what does it come to? 2 things. I'm going to say it. Okay. Number 1, I am so convinced this is the message. And I want to preach Christ. That's 1 thing. Okay. Nobody looks surprised or moved or anything. I am so moved. This is the message. 1 message that I need to preach. And I'm convinced. Okay. The 2nd thing is, it is only Christ. Only Christ. Get me all the way to the end. Okay. Today, I decided to go with the very theme, the very first message of Romans. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed? Like, I know we used to kid around. When you try to pray for your meal in school, what do? You just kind of fake it? Like, you know, then you prayed. You're ready for your meal? That's not what I'm talking about. But are you ashamed? I think the power and authority of Roman Empire and the vast knowledge of Greek Empire and the depth and the magnitude of Jewish tradition, a savior who was crucified, I mean, like a criminal on the cross, unless Lord does something miraculous thing in you, divine in you, you will be ashamed. Wouldn't you? But Paul is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation of everyone. Let me ask you, what is the power of God? How powerful is he? Omnipotent powerful. Omnipotent powerful. Right? He created the heavens and the earth with words. He created men and give life. Omnipotent power of God. This morning, with my jet lag, by the way, I'm super jet lag, so if I ramble, please pray for me. I'm super jet lagged right now. This morning, I woke up early because of the jet lag, and I happened to listen to this Korean sermon. This famous pastor, very, very famous pastor, was diagnosed with lung cancer 3 months ago. really famous pastor, someone like MacArthur level, John MacArthur level. And I was shocked. I wasn't sure what was happening. So I listened to his message. It was a 45-minute message. I listened to it yesterday and this morning. And basically, this was the story. He's a pastor who's been in ministry for so many years, representing Korea and things like that. And he was diagnosed only 3 months ago with lung cancer. Okay, and he gathered people suffering with cancer and giving them hope. And he had a surgery, lung cancer, which is supposed to be very, very dangerous cancer. They call it flying cancer because it just metastasizes so rapidly all over the place. But he found a nodule that is about three centimeters in diameter, surgerized, and then he was in chemotherapy right now. He said, as he was preaching, this is the first day in 10 days I'm drinking water. And he was sharing this message. And this is what he shared. You know, when I used to talk about death and sickness and resurrection, you know, I used to proclaim so with eager and confidence until I was diagnosed with cancer. Death and judgment is all objective, something in distance. But now it isn't. It's right in front of me now, right in front of me. And then he was saying, you know, last few months, I'm not going to lie to you. I was discouraged. I was lonely. And I was bitter. And I blamed. And I was fearful. I was all of that. Nothing but those. And then thought came to my mind. And the expression that he used was, I may have cancer, but that does not mean I don't have a conviction. Oh. And then he just stood up. He woke up. You know, I'm a pastor who preached all my life. Tell people to put their faith in Christ. And death cannot overwhelm you and things like that. But now it's time for me to show that, reveal that. So he started this ministry. Every morning he wakes up using his cell phone. Okay, it's a very unprofessional type of thing. And he just televises this 15, 20-minute message every morning to encourage the people who are in distress to put their trust in Christ. And he said, you know, until now, I was able to proclaim because death and sickness and judgment, all of these things are distant thing. But now it is right in front of me. Now, I cannot go around it. Nobody could go around it. I have to go through it. And he said, so do you. Okay, so do you. And I don't know why, but these days, things like that really blesses me. Things like that blesses me. I don't know why. You know, do I have conviction? You know, Christians get cancer and non-Christians get cancer. Christians get rich and non-Christians get rich. Christians get poor and non-Christians get poor. It's not like Christians get rich and healthy and non-Christians poor and death. It's not like that. There's no distinction. So you can't really say Christians rich, Christians life, and rich people, non-Christians cancer and sickness. You can't say that. There is no distinction. But one day, we're going to have to go through it, not around it. Every single one of us. And he said, nobody's word, nobody's comfort, nobody's, visitation really helps me. Now it's time for me to go through it with the person or without the person of Christ. Isn't that what it is? At the end of the day, isn't that what it is? Okay. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Omnipotent power for salvation. What does it take? How much power does it take for a sinner to be saved before the holiness and righteousness of God? How much power, how much work does it take for you to be saved, for a sinner to be saved? We went through this in Africa with African pastors. It was really amazing, people. You know, at the end of that three-day conference with Romans, I asked about 35 people. At the end, I just asked them, is there any word that you recall from study of Romans for last 48 hours? And if there is any word that is meaningful to you, ringing meaningful to you, would you speak up? Okay, just one word. And then there was a silence. Nobody would speak. And our team didn't help either. Yeah. And then we're just silent. And then one by one, let me just tell you something. He said, sin, wrath of God, judgment of God, total depravity, redemption, ransom, propitiation, cross, blood, church, Holy Spirit, indwelling Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, about 40 topics, we would go on and on and on and on. And as I was listening, oh my goodness, this is what happens. Because I didn't really see it in 1 year span, but I saw it in 48 hour span when the Word of God and the Romans is preached. You know what happens? Christianity stands. Christianity stands. This morning, I was checking Facebook. I have a lot of African friends. That's why I cannot move on to Instagram. And this young preacher I saw in Africa just last week, he put up this little entry. He said, the church that does not preach Christ is not a church. A church that that does not preach sin is not a church. A church that does not preach Christ crucified returning is not a church. Oh, I was rejoicing. People. I was just rejoicing. You know, in Philippians, Paul was in prison, right? And because he was in the prison, his rival preachers, who was not in good terms with Paul, they took that opportunity and do ministry and preaching Christ. Not out of, I don't know, genuine motivation, but out of, I guess, rivalry or jealousy. But Paul sits down. And you know what he says? What matters? It is Christ that is being preached, and I rejoice. When Christ is preached, his people rejoices. If you rejoice, could you say amen? Amen. When Christ is preached, his people rejoices. You know who else rejoices when Christ is preached? Father rejoices. I really do believe that, actually. I come back with that conviction. It is him that needs to be preached. It is only him that could save anyone from the depth of sin and hell to be a child of God. It's only Christ. So many people try to preach religion and hoping that they will be transformed. They're not going to be any transformation. In fact, only deception, I really do believe. Because when the Spirit of God is not working, only the spirit of deception works. Okay. Do you have that conviction? You know, I just want to begin with that. And it's for salvation to everyone who believes. It is only by faith. Those of you who are graduating, the greatest gift is faith. If you have faith, you should be praising God. Could you say amen? Amen. If you don't have faith, you seek him today. It doesn't matter what school you go to. It doesn't matter what school you graduated. It doesn't matter how much salary you make. It really doesn't matter how beautiful your wife is. At the end of the day, nothing will matter. When you stand before God, when you have that path to go through, because your health will fail at the end, every single one of you, some earlier than the other. I'm sorry to talk about this on graduation joyful day, but this is what I was blessed this morning. One day your health will fail, and you're going to have to go through it. And you won't be able to go through it with your degree. You won't be able to go through it with your health, with your wealth. You won't be able to go through it, even with your family. At the end, it's just going to be you and the Lord. Isn't that the case? Okay? So it is for faith, everyone who believes, to the first for the Jews and then for the Greeks. And for in it, the righteousness of God. How righteous is God? Perfect righteous. Not 80% righteous of the Jews or Koreans, but perfect righteous. Perfect righteousness. How holy is God? Perfect holiness. Infinite holiness. Anything that comes to him that is short of that will be consumed, Bible says. In other words, there is no salvation. There is nothing without that perfected righteousness and holiness. And that's what has shown. Over and over again in Africa, I share this, and I want to share this with you because some of you, I hope not, but still confused. All the religion on one side, and then there is Christianity one side. What is the difference? Okay, what is the difference? Only one difference. All the religion on one side is man work-based, man's work. Okay? Christianity is God work-based, God's work. Okay? Every other religion, including Judaism, including Buddhism, Islam, any other religion, it is always you trying to earn your own salvation, which you will never get. Okay? Romans 3:20. But Christianity sets up that you are impossible. In fact, you don't even want to. You don't even know. You don't even care. But God just decided to show grace as a gift, give you salvation. Could there be a greater gift if you think about it? Your degree? People, please wake up. Your degree? Your school? What good is it? Oh man, you gain the whole world and you lose your soul. Parents, wake up. What good is your kid's school if you lose their soul? Parents, please wake up. Right? So, for in it the righteousness from God, salvation from God, grace from God, Christ from God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You know, I was meditating about this yesterday, the righteous shall live by faith. Who is righteous in the sight of God? Who is righteous in the sight of God? Is anyone righteous? We're not. Only Christ. Only Christ has the perfected righteousness, perfect holiness. So who is righteous in the sight of God? Only who have Christ. Only those who have imputation, transfer of his perfected righteousness because somehow you decide to believe. Somehow you want to believe. Somehow you see that faith is more important than anything else. Not your school, not your graduation, not your marriage. Only those have faith. And if you don't, you don't. You know, faith is really a gift, and we know we need to have it, especially those of you who went to church for all your lives. But some of you have it, some of you don't. That's just the reality of the matter. Isn't that the case? How do you know? Faith produces fruits. That's how you know. Jesus clearly speaks, you will know the tree by the fruits. Not my word, but Jesus' word. So by what kind of fruits you have, you know whether you have faith or not. Reformers used to say, salvation is by what? By what? Faith alone. But they did not stop there. Salvation is by faith and faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. I think we need to take that seriously, people. There are so many false teachers, so many deceived people inside the church and outside the church in the United States, in Africa as well, in Africa as well. Not just Africa, in the United States. It was funny because in Africa, I was listening to some of these messages with the same text. There are two preachers prepared. Anybody have seen this on YouTube? There's one text, and there's a T.D. Jake, and then there is a Vakim? Yeah, Vakim. Yeah, two African pastors. They preach exactly the same passage, but two very, very different messages. One is like a circus, they describe. All of the rambling on. And the other speaks about the need to be born again and a need of Christ. Now, so many people can't tell the difference. Did you even know that, people? Only by grace you could have faith in God so that you will be justified. Let me just jump to the conclusion. 3:20, we left off 2 weeks ago. So what's the conclusion of the Bible? What's the verdict of the Bible? No one will be justified by his own work. No human being. That's why Christianity is on a different category. All these religions, they try, but Bible declares that no one will be justified. No one will be saved in the sight of perfected holiness of God. So what does it mean to be justified? Justification by faith is the theme of Romans. And it's the article, Martin Luther says, which the church is standing or fall. In other words, if you believe, if the church is preaching justification by faith, it is a church that stands. If it doesn't, it's a fallen church, according to Martin Luther. Okay? So many churches will try to preach this plus prosperity, this plus well-being, this plus health. False. Okay? Can I just tell you, when you stand before God, what does it mean that he calls you justified? Okay, I think this is something you need to know, okay? Shorter Westminster Catechism says this is what it means to be justified. It is the act of God. By grace, he pardons sin based on the work of Christ. So that's the first thing, pardoning of sin. And righteous because of imputed, transferred righteousness of Christ. If you believe, God justifies you. And that is the Romans gospel. If you understand, could you say amen? Justified, two things. Number one, your sins are pardoned. How? Your sin has been transferred, imputed upon Christ. Only one sacrifice matters. That's the only thing that matters. And you see the need, and you believe it. And God see that faith and call you righteous by imputing Christ's righteousness upon you. So it's like double transfer or double imputation. You know, we were explaining this in Africa. African people are very, very bright. They may not have educations you may have, like college or graduate level. They're very, very bright. And I see their eyes just lightening up. I'm telling you, people. It is the foolishness of the preaching Christ, right? Only by the foolishness of preaching Christ, people could be saved. And, you know, I'm so excited to be back at Hicksville after Africa. In fact, my heart was already here, even before I left, right? I wanted to come back here and see this place as a mission field. And I want to devote my conviction, my life, to the people, whomever God brings to this church. We may have different convictions. We may have a different path to go. We may have different, I don't know. But at the end, I wanted to share that conviction with whomever Lord brings to this church. And I can't wait until I go out there, starting this, maybe not tomorrow. I need to recover a little bit. But I can't wait to go out and share this truth with the people around here. Anybody with me on that? Can you say amen if you are? Amen. Praise God. I know. Our team was awesome, actually. I mean, 9 of us, including me, 10. And Chris Yu was our mascot. And he just brought so much joy. And it was awesome because we were, at the end, so united. Especially after the exposition of Romans. Oh, man. You had to be there. What conviction? What conclusion? Until you see absolute need of Savior. Romans 3:20. All you need is need. All you must have is nothing. Remember that? John Gerstner? All you need is need. You don't see the need. That's why you don't have Jesus. And all you must have is nothing. Don't try to add. Don't try to bring little thing you did well for the Lord. Don't. Then you're going to ruin it. All you need is need. And all you must have is nothing. I, you know, It was really, really harsh for those of you who went to Africa. We preached really harsh, right? Basically, if you don't preach Christ, if you preach prosperity, which Jesus did not preach, Jesus will take accountable with you. That's harsh, but I must, because I know that is true. Do you agree that's true? Anybody agree with me? That is true? Can you say amen if you do? I really do, people, because you are going against what God has, Christ has preached. And people want to hear that, don't you? People, deep inside, your flesh, your sinful desire wants to hear that. Prosperity, well-being, success. And if you believe, you will do that. You will get that. No, no. Jesus never preached that, right? And I was telling African pastors, don't ever preach what Christ did not preach. Because one day you will stand before him and you will be accountable to him. Every single one of us. So let me just jump to that absolute need of Christ, but now, that is the greatest transition in human history. But now, the righteousness from God has come, apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. Old Testament was about Christ. Verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith. It is only through faith, justification by faith alone in Jesus Christ. For all who believe, it is only by faith. It is the greatest gift. Okay? For there is no distinction. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Way short, people. Way, way short. Not even close. And verse 25, I want to explain. Okay? And we are justified. God's gracious act of calling you righteous and justified, pardoning your sin, imputing his righteousness. And somehow you believe that. You see the need, and you believe that. You're justified by his grace as a gift, only by gift. All you need is the need. All you must have is nothing. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Just want to explain this. Cross has two directional work. If you could just look at me. I know we already heard this over the years. But I hope it's clear to you, okay? Cross has two directional work. One is redemption toward men. The other is propitiation toward God. It's simple, but you need to understand that. Cross has two directional work. Christ's work toward men is redemption. The word redemption is slavery word. You're born as a slave. You have a master who doesn't love you. You cannot help but to sin. You sin because you were born in sin. You sin because you love sin. You sin because you are fearful of your master. You cannot escape it. And Jesus redeemed you, which means free you from the slavery. How did he do that? By paying the ransom, the price. In the Old Testament time, only way you could free a slave is by paying the price, and that price is called ransom. Within the word redemption, there is a word, Greek word, lutron. Okay, lutron, which means ransom. And Bible says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. His blood was the ransom that frees you from the slavery of sin. Jesus is my ransom. That's the work of redemption. What about propitiation? A little bit more exciting. I mean, I shouldn't say that. A little bit more complex, but so profound. The word propitiation in Latin is hilasterion. I explained this. Mercy seat. The word propitiate has two meanings. Number one, appease God's wrath. Second meaning is meeting the demand of justice from God. You violate United States law, you cheat on taxes, you'll be put into prison. You need to pay the price. That's propitiate. Okay? His blood propitiates, appease wrath. But you find that word hilasterion, mercy in the Old Testament. Where do you find it? In the sacrificial system. Remember, there's a lamb, And there is Israelite people. And we transfer our sin by hand, putting a hand upon the lamb. Right? And you lay your hands upon the lamb, and somehow sin gets transferred. How does that happen? It's faith, isn't it? It's faith. Otherwise, you don't do it. It's faith. So sin gets transferred, and priests slain the lamb, collect the blood, and go into the Holy of Holies, where there is the Ark of Covenant, the presence of God. And there is something called golden plate on top of Ark of Covenant called mercy seat, hilasterion. And priests sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat. And that blood and the wrath of God meets at the mercy seat. And it propitiates the wrath of God and meets the justice demand of his justice. Hilasterion. There's another place in history where blood and the wrath of God meets. Where is that? Where is that? I see. Cross, people, cross. Cross. That's what you believe. Blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, and the wrath of God. Perfect outpouring of wrath of God once and for all, which is a wonder if you think about it, which is a wonder. All humanity, all sin from past, present, and future, your future, even if you get dementia, I personally believe, even if you get some sort of, I don't know, accident, otherwise, will you be sure whether you have salvation? Of course not, right? Once and for all, the blood propitiated the wrath of God and the demand of justice of God. You know, all these sacrifices in Hebrews chapter 10 says God was not pleased. In fact, no animal's blood cleansed sin. There's only one sacrifice that mattered, and that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary, where the blood and the wrath of God meet. And you know what? It says in verse 25, God placed him there. That's a wonder if you think about it, especially if you're parents. If you're parents proud of your children, it just doesn't make sense. God the Father placed Jesus as hilasterion. Do you hear it? Salvation is from God. From God. Salvation from what? The wrath of God or God? Through God, and it's going to be to God. That's Christianity, people. Salvation begins with God, from the wrath of God, through God, for the glory of God. If you hear it, can I hear you say amen? This humbles me. And I have this conviction now. This humbles me. It's not about your prosperity. It's not about your success. It is not about your marriage. It is not about your health. It is not about your family. It is not. It is not, people. Please wake up. Please listen to the truth. It is from God, from the wrath of God, through God, and to God. Okay? And we receive it only when God graces you. Some of you believe. I hope all of you believe. Some of you don't. Some of you want to believe. Some of you don't care. Some of you don't care, right? Let me bug you a little bit. Let me offend you a little bit. Some of you don't care, right? Some of you just want this service to be over, don't you? Some of you say, let's get to the graduation ceremony part, don't you? Faith is the greatest gift. I really think it is the greatest gift. When my health fails, just like that pastor that I described you, which it will one day, I'm going to have to go through it. You know, your parents went through it, to be with the Lord. They went through this already. And I know I have to go through it. I may have cancer one day, but I pray that I'll have a conviction. I always had this conviction. We sang in Africa, "For I eagerly expect and hope in no way that I'll be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that Christ may be exalted in my body, whether by life or whether by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I'm going to hold on to that. I hold on to that for the last 35 years, and I pray to God that I'll be able to hold on to that. And in fact, I have this confidence, I have this conviction that he who began the good work will carry it on, and he will finish his sanctifying work. I do believe that. Okay? One day I may have to go through it by myself. I mean, your visitation, prayer, everything will help. But at the end of the day, that's not going to carry me. It has to be Christ in me. It has to be that faith in me. Amen? My brothers and sisters, on this graduation day, some of you graduate elementary school, middle school, high school, college, graduate school. I don't know, like you graduate from discipleship training, whatever. But the greatest gift of it all is the gift of faith in Christ. All you need is need. And all you must have is Christ. I mean, nothing, excuse me, nothing. Done, okay? This was Romans diagram that I showed you a year ago, okay? And I just pray that perhaps you should sit down and try to have a closure. What is the gospel to you? What is the gospel? And what is the gospel to you? My conviction, I shared, okay? I want to preach Christ. Because I know that's the only name. That's the only message that could really save any person eternally, transform any person eternally. Church that does not preach Christ is not a church. It's a fallen church. Church that does not preach sin is not a church. It's a fallen church. Church that does not preach Christ crucified and returning back is not a church. It's a fallen church. And I rejoice because, you know, Africa is 7 hours ahead of us. Okay, so they're done right now. They're resting right now. And I saw this morning that entry in Facebook, which means I know at least one person preached Christ in Africa today. And I rejoice. And I know God rejoices. Do you rejoice? How many of you rejoice that Christ is being preached? Would you say amen? Christ is the only way. And that's how we want to build this church. In fact, we don't build a church. Christ builds the church. Unless you preach him, how is he going to build his church? You're building a circus. You know, go listen to the message. I was just, oh my gosh. John 3, chapter 3, verse, you know, you must be born again message. One preacher makes a circus out of that. One preacher preached the scripture and Christ. Do you think there is a difference? Do you think that there is a different spirit moving? You better believe it, people. You think there's going to be a different result? You better believe it. Somehow this church is much bigger. Isn't that interesting? Much bigger. Because it pleases the people. What your flesh desires. But that's not going to save. There is no way, people. Only Christ. And I pray that you would put your full trust, your faith, in the finished work of Christ and work of Holy Spirit through your life. Okay? Shall we bow?